Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
That really wrecked me, the worship. Thanks, guys. But thanks, Holy Spirit. Returning back to the beginning is something that we often forget to do because we're so caught up in going forward and wanting the next. And as I was singing that song, I was reminded of a time when I was about 20 years of age. It was just like I went straight back there. And I'd rocked up to church because I was pretty broken. It was actually my parents' church. I was visiting Toowoomba. I hadn't been in church for a few, probably months, because I'd been through a pretty rubbish relationship, and it's pretty broken. Just felt really just empty, and church wasn't really cutting it for me. I was living in Brisbane at the time, and I went to church mainly because it's where my parents went, and I thought, well, that's what the family does. And I remember when I went on this day, and talk about going back to the beginning and those moments in your life that will set you free. And I remember listening to the preach, and there wasn't really much in the preach that really spoke to me, to be honest. But at the end, there was a gentleman who spoke, got up, and he said, I just want to pray for some people. And he pointed to me, and he said, just can you come down here, please? And I'm like, oh, here we go. And he prayed for me, and he said, I don't even know who you are, but God's given me a vision. You've hit brick walls in your life. You're up in front of a brick wall. You can't get through, and you're completely lost because you've completely stuffed up. And he says to me, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is telling you that the brick wall's made of paper and it's time to bust through. And it was such an interesting word because on that day, I could see the physical wall just ripping. In my spiritual self, it was something like a freedom that came about because of a spiritual word that was brought, a word of encouragement. And you know what? I was set free in a moment. And I went back to Brisbane at probably, maybe 2021, and I went and got involved in a church again, and God set me on fire for Him again. And it's so interesting that the Holy Spirit will move and constantly speak. He'll speak through an avenue of ways and places. And like Beck said, we've been in this series called Hearing from God. And if you're here today and you're desperate to hear from God, maybe you've been in religiosity your entire life and God has never spoken to you clearly, I'm praying that God will speak to you today. He uses different mouthpieces. He uses different things. Beck mentioned before that in the last week, we've had people call us left, right, and center talking to us about, you've got to hear this story about how God spoke to me this week. I was talking to a gentleman whose wife went in for an operation this week. We caught up on Wednesday, and he said to me, as I don't know if God speaks to me, but I was praying last night before my wife went into this operation, and he said, I opened up my Instagram, and he showed me that someone had posted a scripture about blessed are those who mourn and those who are going through suffering. And it was the most incredible encouragement for him. And that operation went brilliantly. And I just know, his wife got out of the operation, he sent me a text, and it was just a screenshot of how God had spoken. He was like, that was God speaking. And I believe wholeheartedly that God is constantly on the move, and I'm excited about today. But the thing about hearing from God, when it comes to the Holy Spirit and hearing from God, there's a point where we receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we enter into this following Jesus with the Holy Spirit. But there's also a point where we can actually continue our walk with God, but walk with God with immaturity. And we actually never grow up and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. And I want to talk about Holy Spirit transformation today. Because not only do we receive the Holy Spirit that can show us which way to go, but there's a point where we have to get to where God can start giving you His gifts to be an edification to the body of Christ by using those gifts. Now, I want to open up to start off today in 1 Corinthians 3. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's writing a letter to one of the earliest churches. And he writes this with sort of a sense of, I would almost say, discipline to these early church. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Imagine if you were here today and Jesus walked in and said, hey, I'm not going to call you people that walk by the Spirit. I'm just going to call you worldly. I'm going to call you worldly because you're still an infant. You haven't understood that it's time to grow up. It's time to put on your big boy pants. It's time to actually outwork everything I have for you and not rely on other people to do it for you. And today I'm going to be unpacking some things, and I wholeheartedly believe that God wants to take you from infant to adult in one session. In maybe 30 minutes, you're going to go from pull-up nappies to going out and being an adult when it comes to spiritual things. So we're going to pray right now. I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit's going to keep moving. And I'm also believing by the end of the service that He's going to anoint and appoint you with the gifts that you need to take on this life. So God, I thank You that You've called us to spiritual maturity. God, You've called us to a place of transformation. God, You don't want us to be the same as we used to be without You. You actually are calling us into a new life, to be a new creation, to be a voice in our world, to be full of power and might, to bring hope to those who have not any hope in their life. And Holy Spirit, would You speak today? Would You show us how to grow up in You? In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Growing up is an interesting thing. Grow up. People might say, no one's ever said that to you? No one? Okay, just me. A couple of months ago, maybe even a year ago, I was staying at Beck's sister's house. And they live in this two-story house. And her nephew was downstairs. And all of a sudden, I hear this little voice screaming out, Mom! 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 And so Jen, Beck's sister, goes, what? And Max goes, wipe my bum! You wonder why we don't have kids. But any parent knows that this is a real part of life. Wipe my bum. And I'm thinking, at least say please, you know. And she looks at me, Jen just goes, oh. And he's downstairs and he's just sitting there waiting for Mum to come and wipe his bum. And she did. Because that's what you do for a toddler who doesn't know how to wipe their bum. And there's a point as a child, you're just like, well, that's my expectation. In this period of my life, you do that, you feed me, I cry out, and this is what happens. And I actually think for a lot of us with our spiritual life, we're a bit like that. We come to church and we come and sit here because we are like, feed me. I've been hungry all week. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all week. Pastor, I'm just stuffed up again. Wipe my bum. Clean me up. I know it might sound crass, but when it talks about spiritual infancy, there's a bit of this sort of like, just do everything for me. Please do everything for me. I need to hear from God this week. What's Az going to say? What does the podcast say? Where do I go to hear from God? Because I just want You to do it for me. And I'm the first person to admit that I was a consumer of going to conferences and looking for every person to pray for me right through my teen years, right up into my early 20s. And I remember going to this conference, and at that stage of my life, I was in my early 20s, I was working on the Christian radio station here, thought I was a bit of a big deal, and so being treated a little bit like a celebrity, to be honest, at this Christian conference, enjoying the front row seat, enjoying being able to meet people. And the pastor at the time, his name is Jürgen Matisius, he ministers overseas now. He was at this conference and he had this incredible ability to communicate to teenagers. And I thought he was the coolest, the greatest preacher of all time. And so at the end of his service, he said, I'm going to pray for anyone who wants blessing, anyone who wants, you know, to receive the gifts. And he was, you know, kind of going like this. And I'm like, I want it, right? And so I line up and I wait. And I wait, and there's people being prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. I'm talking an hour and a half of waiting. I get to Jürgen. I'm like, this is my time. I'm going to receive from the preacher. I'm going to get my anointing. And I go, and he looks at me and he goes, hey. And I open my eyes and he goes, I pray that you pray. And walks off. An hour and a half! And what do you think I was like in that moment? I am never coming back here. How dare you? I have waited for my prayer. You're supposed to give me something. That's your job. And I was so angry that, like, I got invited on this trip by my church, like, youth pastor at the time, or young adult pastor, and I was fuming. I remember on the bus back to our hotel, I was ripping this thing. I was like, how dare he? Like, I'm like, what? I don't get it. Like, you know, I asked for prayer and he did that. You know, I reckon I can't remember one prayer of anyone who's ever prayed over me, but I tell you what, I remember that. I don't remember any prophetic word, well, a couple around, but I'm talking about, I remember that day so clearly, hey. I remember that day so clearly because it was the most profound statement anyone had made to me at that stage of my spiritual walk. I pray that you pray. In other words, it's time to grow up as. It's time for you to go and find your own faith in God. Stop relying on everyone else to feed you. Time to pick up your own Bible. Time to grow up. Did I like it? No. I hated it. In fact, it took me probably a good year and a half to even forgive that guy. I actually ran into him. It's so fascinating. A couple of years ago, talk about hearing from God. Couple of years ago, there was a conference on in Newcastle, and I said to Beck, I think I need to go to that conference. I actually didn't know who was speaking, but somebody was saying, you need to go to that conference. So I drove all the way to Newcastle, and I rock up, and the first night, who's the guest speaker? Jürgen Mattisius. And I went up to him after, because there was a breakout session, and I said, I've got to tell you something. You said something to me, and I've got a bone to pick with you. I said, you said, I pray that you pray. And he goes, that's awesome. He goes, I must have been in tune that day. We had a good laugh. I forgive him. But church, I want to challenge us all. It's time to grow up. There's a time in your life where you have to go from infanthood to be able to stand on your own two feet and do the things that need to be done. You see, we talked about God speaking. He can speak to you every day of the week, in every moment, in every facet. You have to have your spiritual ears open. You have to be in a space, a headspace that says, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to step out. God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm going to do this. Not because my pastor told me, because you told me, and I'm in relationship with you, and I understand your voice. I hear your voice. Growing up, I've often liked to use the elders to get me things. At Christmas, I used to always ask my uncle, can you get me a soft drink? He'd always go, are your arms and legs painted on? Are your arms and legs painted on? I go, no. Uncle Solomon, just give me a drink. Nah, get it yourself. There's this element, truthfully, that we have to use the things that God has given us. Use the things that God has given us. Now, when it comes to hearing from God, some of you might be really frustrated. Maybe you've never experienced the things that you see around you. Maybe you've been at worship nights and you get frustrated because everyone else seems to be getting a hit or an experience or this overwhelming, euphoric experience of God speaking. Or you have those friends that are like, God told me this and God, and you're like, oh my gosh, I seriously have no idea what you're talking about. I still remember in the 90s with my own mother, there was a revival breaking out. And in the Toowoomba church, we had prayer nights and praise nights every night. And my own mum, walking home, because we're pretty close to the church where we lived, having an argument with my dad, getting so angry and upset because she's like, why is God missing me? You've got it. The kids have got it. And really being frustrated, really, really wrestling with, why am I not getting a touch of God? Why am I the one that feels like it's being missed out on? And I remember my dad just saying, just keep coming, hon. Like, just keep coming. And about 4 weeks later, because this thing went for weeks, and about 4 weeks later, she got her touch, and it transformed her. The reality is, if you want to grow up in faith, don't quit asking. Don't quit asking. James 4 says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, the battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." Quite often in our life, we get so angry and frustrated as to what we don't have, but we haven't stopped. We've actually stopped asking God. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in Luke 11, 5 to 10. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. In other words, your friendship means nothing, but your annoyance will get the attention of the neighbor. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." Church, it's time for some shameless audacity. When it comes to the things of God, if in the last 3 weeks when we're saying, "God, open my spiritual ears, speak to me." If in the last 3 weeks you've been saying, and you've just kind of going, "As keeps talking about it, we keep hearing testimony about it. Everyone else seems to hear. I'm not hearing." Keep asking. Keep asking. You ask until he moves. You just keep asking. You keep asking. You keep asking. God's a good God. He will go, "Okay, righto. If that's how much you want it, I'm going to give it to you. I will give it to you." He gives good gifts. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. It's time for some spiritual maturity. Time to keep going. Persisting, because God wants to speak to you today. There's a moment in the Bible where a young boy goes from toddler to adult in a moment. It's the story of Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 3, we read this story. If you don't know the backstory, there's a woman named Hannah who's married. Her husband has another wife that has many children. And she ends up at the temple one day and she's crying and mourning. And the priest thinks she's drunk because she's in such anguish. And she opens up and says, "I just want a son. I just want offspring, that God would give me a son." She also makes a deal with God that day. "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to the house of God. He'll be raised in your ways." And Hannah ends up having a boy and calls him Samuel. And after he's weaned, he ends up going to the temple. And he's living there with the priest Eli and he's learning the ways of God. And it says in chapter 3, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This was because of the rebellion of the priest at the time and his sons were evil. One night, Eli," this is the priest, "whose eyes was becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out and Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me?' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So Samuel did not yet know the Lord." So Samuel's never heard God's voice before. "The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening.'" What I love about this story is there's a boy who doesn't know the voice of God. He hears something And where does he go? He goes to his spiritual leader and says, hey, is that you calling me? Is that you calling me? I'm not sure what that is. He thinks it's Eli. That's the closest thing to God he's ever heard. Goes back and comes back again, and he's trying to figure out this voice. And then Eli says, hey, that's God. And when he calls again, this is how you should respond. Speak, for your servant is listening. What I've discovered in regards to hearing the voice of God, if you want to hear the voice of God, you're also saying, God, I want to be obedient to your voice. And before you can truly hear the voice of God, you have to position yourself in the place of servant. Your servant is listening. In other words, in a moment when you say, God, I want to hear your voice, you say, I'm your servant, master, speak. And when you speak, I'm obedient to you, master. What do you have for me? God, I'm here. I'm prepared to be your servant no matter what. Now would you please speak? If you want to hear God's voice in your life, if you want to grow up in your faith, you want to start hearing his voice, you have to be God's servant first. The positioning of servant. You know, this week I had a call, and I'm actually going to get Kev Holden to come up in a second. Kev called me on the road with his work, and I love this phone call. It's probably my favorite phone call this week, maybe month this year. And the reason for it is Kev, and I'm going to get him to share, but he said to me, as I was listening to your message at church last week about hearing from God, and I was asking God, do I hear from you? God, do I hear from you? Do I hear from you? And I'm going to get Kev to come up and just share about what happened. I want to be encouraged to all of us, so give Kev a round of applause as he comes. So Kev, tell us where you were to begin with and what was going on.
Well, following that message from Az, he shared a really great message on hearing from God, and I always write down some notes. And the one thing that I did take down was actively listen for God's voice. And when you listen and you do hear it, be obedient. And I was down in New South Wales for work, and I'm driving from Foster, running late, driving from Foster down to Newcastle, pouring with rain, listening to a bit of worship music, and I'm driving along, and I hear this voice behind me. Honestly, it felt like Az was sitting behind me telling me how to drive. And it's going, turn right. And I'm going, what? And I've had nudges, like Beck said, nudges and signs from God, but I'd never audibly heard his voice. So I'm driving along, and I kept going. I'm thinking, whatever. It kept going, and about 100 meters down the road, I said, turn right. So I thought, well, okay. So being obedient, I turned right at this intersection, and I noticed this sign, Galway Downs, and it's a bed and breakfast that's on the Mile Lakes down in New South Wales, and it was owned by a friend of ours that we hadn't seen for 25 years. So I'm driving down this road in the rain, cursing myself, because now I'm going to run late for Newcastle. And I'm driving down, and I'm thinking, are these people still there? Do they own it? Have they passed away? So I get to the gate, and I find it 20 minutes later, and on the gate's Don and Colleen Johnson. I say, oh, well, that's a good sign. They're probably still here. Open the gate, one of those old farm gates that takes ages to open and close again. Drive through this little duck pond and pass little cows up to the main gate. The house kind of looked deserted. And I get up to the main house and I park my car. And as I get out of the car, I hear this, pray for Colleen. Yeah, so I get out and it says, pray for Colleen. I'm going, wow, this is kind of freaking me out a bit. You know, so I open the main gate and I walk up the house. It's kind of deserted. And this lady that walked out of the cottage was a flatmate of mine 30 years ago in Sydney. And I hadn't seen her for 30 years. So we both aged a little, or she has. And anyway, so I yelled out, I said, Sally, hi, it's Kevin. And she burst out crying. So I said, what's wrong? I said, hey, how you doing? She goes, oh, I'm not having a great day. My mum was rushed into hospital yesterday, on the Monday. And her mum's name's Colleen. So I go, wow. So I said, that's why I'm here. So I gave her a big hug, and I had the privilege to pray for her for about 5 minutes, and she was crying and telling me she didn't know what was going on. And then she said, oh, my husband's coming back to pick me up. We've got to go back into Foster to put her mum's dog down who's bleeding internally. I'm thinking, oh, gee. So I prayed for her again and the dog. And you know, it was just a privilege. I was there literally 5 to 10 minutes. And I hopped back in my car. They went back to Foster. I hopped back in my car. I've been listening to some worship music. Drive along through the duck pond and through the cows again and get out the gate. Takes 20 minutes. And I put on the worship music, and it's Fresh Wind. And, you know, that those lines just kind of hit me, and I kind of got emotional. So I found old boy here. And I just realized that driving along there, you know, we hadn't spoken to them. I didn't have contact with them. Hadn't seen them for 25 years. And just that 5 minutes was obviously just a privilege, and listening to God and being obedient to be able to go and pray for her. You know, I got into Newcastle late, as it was, but the next day I phoned Az and told him what had happened, and I was just inquisitive. So I thought I didn't know how to contact them. I didn't have Sally's number, so I phoned Foster Private Hospital. And I said, oh, listen, I'm just a family friend. I'm phoning up to see how Colleen Johnson's going. They go, oh, yeah, she was rushed in yesterday, and she was in ICU, and she'd just been moved out into a rehab ward, and she's making a miraculous healing.
Thanks, Kev.
I love it. I love it so much, because that experience is available to every person in this room. Like, can you imagine just driving along, turn right? And when I was talking to Kev, he called me, it was very fresh. And he's like, he said, I'm driving like 20 minutes down this road the whole time, cursing myself, going, you're an idiot, as if that's God, as if, where am I going? And then he saw the sign, oh, maybe it's for these people. And then as he explained on that day, she's there, yeah, my mum's in, can I pray for you? 10 minutes. When you hear from God, my gosh, your faith walk becomes alive. Because it's not about coming to church on Sunday to go, I wonder what the pastor has to say. Because every day of your life, God's speaking to you anyway. This is a refreshing space, church, but I'm telling you, I am not the only way that you can hear from God. You can pick up your word, you can pick up the word of God, pick up the Bible, read it. You can put on worship music. God can speak through music. He can speak through an Instagram post. He can speak audibly. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You've got to seek him. You've got to go after him. 18 minutes down the road, I can imagine what you're going through there, Kev. 18 minutes, oh gosh, this better be good. And then when God shows up and shows off, you go, oh, I hear from you. I can trust you. When I'm going through trauma or trials and tribulation in life, God, I remember the time you spoke so clearly. You were there then. You're still here now. I don't have to worry anymore. Transforms your life. You had to wait for 18 minutes to figure it out. The next verse after Hebrews 6 is Hebrews 11, by faith Noah. And it talks about how he had to wait 120 years for God to show up. Thank God we don't have to show up 120 years of a hope. I'm building a boat for a reason, you know. But he's called us to faith, to have an attentive ear. What I love about this Kev moment, Kev, in that moment, you put yourself in a position of servant. You're on your way to Newcastle. You have to get to Newcastle on time. And now this means God is calling you to turn right, which means now I'm doing something that I don't know why I'm doing, but... And it's going to add an extra hour to my trip, which might cause a delay on the other end, which might cause... But you know what? I'm your servant. I'll be obedient. And even if you rocked up at that place and no one was there, God would have used another reason for that moment. Last week I talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And I said I'm going to talk about how you can receive the gifts of the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6... There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. This is the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week being very different to other spirits out there. The one that professes that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Can I just point that out? It says there's a bunch of different giftings you can have. And the next line says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. What do servants do? They serve. They bring service. And so receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not for selfish ambition, but it's actually to uplift the church members that we have here. The body of Christ here can be serviced by each and every one of us. You don't need to wait for Sunday to say to your friend, hey, come to my church to get my pastor to pray for you. You have the ability to go, let me pray for you. You don't have to come and find someone who's an elder to lay hands on you, anoint you. You have the ability to lay hands on or be anointed or ask God to anoint you right there in your house in that moment. And it says there's a bunch of different gifts that God gives that are really powerful. Once you've made God your master, that's the moment where you're saying, Holy Spirit, reside within me. My body is not my own. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit now. And so, Lord, God lives within me. I'm not my own. That's the first moment. Now I am a servant of God. Second, when you want the Holy Spirit to go next level, you want to start hearing and start being able to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that comes down to a place where you've got spiritual maturity first. Paul's like, hey, you guys haven't changed. Your life hasn't been changed, and so I can't call you people of the Spirit. You need the maturity first. You need to leave the past behind and start following Jesus. And then all of a sudden, it's just like in a moment, God can start just giving you gifts. Giving you gifts. God was handing out gifts at youth this week. I just love this. One of the gifts of the Spirit is another tongue. The gift of tongues. Now, what's so interesting, when people talk to me about gifts of tongues, if you know my story, you might have heard me share, I'd asked for the gifts of tongues for years and years and years and years and years and years, and I had all sorts of people say, just start saying random things and like just all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, if it's not real, I don't want it. Like, I don't want anything in this church community that is fraud. Because you know what the worst thing possible can be? A fraudulent spirit. Trying to make things happen. If the Holy Spirit's moving, he'll move. He'll do whatever the heck he wants. And I love that. And I remember years and years and years and years, I wanted the Holy Spirit. I really wanted the gift of tongues. And never got it. And then in grade 12, my story is I went to Hillsong Conference. I was in a worship session 4 days into a conference. I actually had a chip on my shoulder towards this conference too. I think that's just something that I've always had with conferences. And I've always had a chip on my shoulder and I'm always the skeptic and I'm always that guy. 4 days in, we're in a worship session. It's an acoustic session with worship band Delirious, old school. And hands in the air, singing a song. And the wind of God hit. And I got taken out. And I started just to pour out. I was keeled over and I was speaking a new tongue. And I couldn't keep up. And I'm going to turn to my mate Josh, my best mate Josh. He's next to me. He is flattened, pouring out the gift of tongues. He doesn't come from a Christian family. He just came to the conference to get girls, you know. So he's just like, I was like, this is different for Josh. But I'm like, woo, you know, and I'm just like, I am getting absolutely flattened by the Holy Spirit. Anyway, understand the Holy Spirit is on the move here. Bella was telling us at youth on Friday night, hopefully you don't mind me sharing this, Bella, but she said one of our students in worship started just speaking, like singing in tongues, like just the Holy Spirit hit her. And after she came, Bella, I don't know what this language is. I don't know what just happened. Bella's like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the gift of tongues. Just embrace that. Allow God to keep doing that. And like, I'm like, I haven't heard that story, my story, in a long time. Can't explain it, but once you've experienced it, you can't deny it. And it's one of the greatest things for edification of your own spirit when you have nothing to pray. There's a lot of times where I have nothing to pray, so I start to speak in tongues because the Holy Spirit knows what I need to say. And that's why I believe that God's given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. When it's tongues, some of you are really articulate with your words, and maybe God hasn't given that to you because you know exactly how to speak to God. There's no issue there. But for me, I'm a bit of an idiot with prayer, and I need that. So there's all these different gifts that we hear about in this scripture. It says there are different kinds of workings, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of them, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. For what reason is the Holy Spirit given? For the common good. To one, there is given the spirit of a message of wisdom. Who wants wisdom? Who would love to be wise? Man, I need wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same spirit. So, man, God can give you a word of knowledge. You start speaking in a business meeting and you don't know where this sort of knowledge came from, but all of a sudden you're speaking. That wasn't me speaking, and it's like a revelation for your business. Like, whoa, that can be what can be done through a word of knowledge. You might have insight given to you by God on what is going to happen, and that can't be explained except the Spirit of God. Another faith by the same Spirit. You might have a gift of bringing faith to a room where faith is dead. Thank God for you, when God's given that gift to you. To another, gift of healing by the ones... Who wants a gift of healing? Hey. I want to share a story at the prayer night. There was a lady. I don't know if she's here. I can't even remember her name because I only met her that night. Marilia. And there's a lady there in the prayer night, and felt wholeheartedly that God was giving her the gift of healing. And so I said, hey, Marilia, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Yeah, absolutely. You want the gift of healing? Yeah. So we got her to start praying. And this week we've been hearing miracles of the people she prayed for. One person, asthma gone, heart palpitations gone. Miracles. Because she's received the gift of healing. Guess what? If you want prayers for healing, go to Marilia. Don't come to me. I wish I had that gift, but it hasn't been given to me yet. I believe Beck has the gift of healing. There's different people in this room who have different gifts. Understand, he gives some or one. Sometimes he gives all, but often he doesn't. Why? Because he wants to use the body of Christ for the common good to serve the world we live in. And you need to activate the gifts that God has given you. Here's the other thing. I'll just keep going through what gifts you can... To another, miraculous powers. I don't know what that one is. Frank, can you give me insight into miraculous powers? Parting the Red Sea sort of stuff? Go and part the bay, okay? Walk out to the island. That's, you know, I don't know. To another, prophecy. The prophetic word, such a powerful thing. I believe God has given me the gift of prophecy. I've been working on that for the last few years. Another, to distinguish between spirits, knowing if it's of God, if it's not. That's a powerful one in this world. It's confusion. We talked about, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, go and listen to last week's podcast to understand that. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. I've heard of people speaking in tongues, full belt tongues, and another person in the room going, did you know you were just speaking my language? And that's phenomenal. Fluent gospel, you know. There's been people, the revivals have broken out where, people have spoken in tongues and preached the gospel in many languages. And it says, all of these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Don't be jealous for another man's gift, but embrace the gift that God has placed on you. Work on that gift. And understand that God can give you many gifts. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all in many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. This morning, this is what I'd like to do. If you want to take your spiritual life from infancy to adulthood today, I believe wholeheartedly, first and foremost, you have to come to a position of servant, a placement of Jesus. When you're talking about Jesus, go, God, I'm your servant. That is the positioning I place now. You are master. Would you speak? You get into that positioning every day of your life and things are going to happen like Kev. I've seen the transformation in your life, Kev, in the last couple of years, just hearing from God, seeing God, and I believe that God is going to use you in mighty ways in the workplace. In the marketplace, God is going to use you with words of knowledge and encouragement and faith. And people are going to say to you, Kev, no, what is it, Kev? I know you're good at your job, but you've got this edge and your response will be, it's Jesus. You're just getting started. Wholeheartedly, Kev, I believe that. Wholeheartedly. First and foremost, you need to put him as master of your life. So I want us to bow our heads right now and give you an opportunity. Jesus died on a cross. He rose again 3 days later. He overcame sin and death once and for all to set you free. When he rose again, he left and he said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the thing you're going to need. He said, I'm leaving so you can have the helper. You see, Jesus could only ever be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times, accessible at all times by you. And God wants you to access him to take on each day of your life. He wants to give you a supernatural ability to take on every battle that's ahead of you because he is for you, not against you. But he does ask you to lay down your life. He asks you to die to yourself and leave your past behind and decide to follow him and him alone. And so if that's you today and you've never ever said, God, I want you to be my master, I'm actually going to get you to do something really brave. If you really want, you just know in your heart of hearts, I actually need to surrender. I don't know if I've ever said, God, I'm your servant. If that's you today, and it could be you just need to recommit this to God in your own self. You know, I need to return to that. If that's you, I actually want you to stand up. If that's you, you're saying, God, I want you to be my master. I want you to be my master. I want to be your servant. If you are someone here today, I want to be your servant. Just stand up wherever you are. This is for people who have never done this before and also people who just want to recommit their life and go, I want to make you my master. I want to be your servant. Yeah, it's so brave and so awesome. Hey, all day, all message, Holy Spirit's been revealing to me you, highlighting me you. I don't know your story. I don't know the fullness of your story. But I tell you what, God's got big plans for you. Choose to be his servant. Don't be God of your life anymore. I believe there's more at the back there, to the left there. There's more of us. Yeah, down the front. God, I need you to be my master. I need to put myself in servanthood's positioning. Just be humble enough to go, God, you're enough. Use me, speak to me. Holy Spirit, for those that have stood up, God, I believe wholeheartedly that this is a day where growth is going to happen. That each and every individual that stood up in this moment will go from strength to strength and maturity with you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you give them supernatural gifts. You pour out the gifts. Hey, for the rest of us, I want to do this real quick. I want everyone to stand up. There's a moment where you go from infanthood to an adult in your spiritual life when you start to pray. Jürgen, I pray that you pray. And I read all those gifts of the Spirit, those things that are available in the Scripture. We might even get them up on the screen again. Ryan, if you can get up that passage with all the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, right through to 7. Yeah. If you can just go to that next page. Okay. Next. There's healing there. I'm just going to put these up. I want you to just have a look at those. I want you to meditate on those things. And there's a heart's desire for certain things in your life. You just go, God, that's what I need. And so what I want to do right now is actually we're going to sing this song. That's right. But as we're just worshiping in this time, we're going to wrap up the service. But this is a time just to meditate. I want you to actually pray yourself, God, would you give it to me? Ask God. He's a good God. Keep asking. You will receive, okay? And this is what I want you to do. If you've asked for the gift of healing, this is what I want you to do this week. Go and pray for someone who needs healing. If you're someone who's prayed for the word of prophecy, go, God, what do you want to say to this person? If something drops into your spirit, maybe speak it out. If you say to the person, hey, if I get this wrong, I'm really sorry, I'm new to this. But this is what, and this is how you start to practice and outwork the gifts of the Spirit, right? It's funny. I remember that day with Max yelling out, Mom! Beck, a couple of days later, he wanted Beck to do the wiping. She's like, no deal, Max. How about you try? You do it and I'll come and inspect. True story. And so, what? So he did it. I'm inspecting. Yep, looks pretty good to me, Max. Guess what? He just became someone that could do something he never did before. So that's what you got to do with the spiritual gifts. You step out, you say to the person, hey, I've never done this before, but something in my spirit says this. It might just be a picture or a word. I'm going to speak it out, and hey, if I get this wrong, I'm so sorry, but I believe that God speaks. That in itself is a huge testimony, right? So we're just going to have this music play, and I'm just going to pray, and I want you in this moment, while the song's playing, I want you to go and ask God what gift you'd like. The beautiful thing about the gift, it's free, and God gives them freely to each and everyone who asks. And then this week, go and practice it, and we're going to hear testimony that God's using us all, yeah, for the common good. So Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the faith in the room for us to speak out and actually ask, to open our mouth, open our lips, to speak out loudly what it is that you would have for us, that we could come to you boldly knowing that you have good gifts for each and every one of us, that you would speak through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.